Meeting of the City of Kaiser Traffic Safety, Bikeways, and Pedestrian Committee.
Microphone's on and close to you.
Okay. Say it again. Okay. Calling to order the meeting of City of Kaiser Traffic Safety, Bikeways, and Pedestrian Committee meeting. First order of business is approval of the minutes from our April meeting.
I make a motion we accept, approve the minutes of the April, what was it?
April meeting.
April meeting.
April 11th meeting.
April 11th meeting.
All second.
Motion and second. Is there all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed and no abstain. Next item is the appearance of interested citizens, and I think we have none present and none signed up, right?
There might be some on television.
Yeah. Before the project reports, maybe Councilor, you would like to give. We'd like to give you. Yeah. He is, but. Yeah.
But I'm taking off her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have another meeting to attend.
Yeah, we had a request to go earlier.
The main things, there's a lot of things going on traffic-wise and safety-wise with Kaiser Fest, and so we want to be cognizant of be safe and do our best to look out for everybody during that time period. In-N-Out Burger is slated to have their groundbreaking in June, early June, and they do their construction like they do their burgers in and out, and they're expecting to be open by September. It's one of the things they talked about, so that's exciting. And that's what I had on my plate for today.
Okay.
Any questions about any of that?
How's the budget meeting going?
Budget meeting finished up. We did it. We got it all done. Tonight was the night to finish it up if we didn't have it done, but it was all finished in the two nights. And the mic is on. Do you want me to eat it? So the budget committee had things prepared very well, and our city staff put everything together. There were just a few things that we really had to make adjustments to on the budget, and it went very, very well, very easy compared to some years, I hear.
Oh.
Sometimes just take longer. That's all.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. Congratulations getting it done so quick.
I appreciated it.
Yeah. Thank you. And we'll move on to the item four, the project reports. First one is the parkway path signage, which I'm the contact person for that. And for that one, I did receive a phone update from Jenna Berman from ODOT, and she is working this issue within ODOT, and this has to do with trying to get the wayfinding signs along the parkway path that would indicate people that are on the path what destinations are nearby as they reach the points of access into the city streets, and also people accessing the path from those places, how far it is north or south to the key destinations. And so Jenna Berman is, as I said, working within ODOT to try to figure out how to get those signs basically designed and installed by ODOT. She's optimistic that she can find the funds and the way to accomplish that, but it would come with the expectation that the City of Kaiser would sign an agreement to maintain the signs once they're in. So that may be something Mike Griffin would need to take, you know, city staff, I guess, need to talk with the attorney. I know we had some issue about whether you could install the signs, but we might need to ask a smaller question. Could the city take on the maintenance responsibility if those signs were installed by ODOT?
And that I want to be helpful, but I'm really not sure if we're not, you know, if not allowed to go into that jurisdiction
and we're not able to install them in any city funding outside of the city by maintaining them, that would be using city funding. And so I would say the answer would be no going with that. But again, I can ask a question to Bill.
Now, so with that, we might need to kind of brainstorm among staff and the committee members here, maybe council, if there's a third party that could take on that responsibility on behalf of the city. Is that, can we find out if that kind of arrangement is possible?
I'll look into it and get back.
Okay. Any other comments or questions on the parkway signage?
Yes. Because I have my desk at work right now, the Ashtoe's upcoming balloting for the new bike and pedestrian pathways standards. And so I might want to, I'll ask Roger if it's possible to allow you to see that, or if we, try and compare notes, and I'll get a hold of Jenna about if she's seen them.
Okay, okay, that would be good.
Make sure that everything is up to code, I guess.
Yeah, up to.
For the upcoming.
The latest, greatest.
Right.
As the code changes, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, uh-huh, okay.
I'm sorry, Bill, I didn't hear a lot of what you said.
Okay, there is, Ashtoe provides a standard for bicycle and pedestrian paths, and there is an upcoming potential for changes to those standards, and I am currently reviewing those, or will be. And the other thing I was thinking about, since I just heard someone saying it today, and I feel like I know something, we could have an IGA, intergovernmental agreement possibly to, some kind of work between the city and ODOT so that it would provide the city the allowance to work at somewhere outside jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. The other issue that is assigned to me is having to do with the contacting Lawrence Sanitation about policies for where the public should be placing their trash cans so that it's not impeding people walking the sidewalk or riding bike lanes. And so that one I have not started yet. Next issue is the bike parking facilities assessment tool with the intent of doing an evaluation of current situations of bicycle parking at the schools in Kaiser. And Wayne and I were assigned that one, but Wayne took it, so I'll let him give you the report.
Thank you, Pat. This last Saturday, when there were no kids at school and I didn't have to deal with school office or anything like that, I went out to take a look at all 10 schools to see what their bike rack capacity is and what types of bike racks they have. And are they covered? Are they secured? Are they in a fenced area? Is there a security camera? The types of bike racks. And so I went to all 10 schools, 7 elementaries, 2 middle schools, and the high school. And I found some interesting things. One of our elementary schools has no bike racks, Kennedy. Some of our schools, most of the schools, have old-style bike racks. Two of the schools have modern bike racks. Weddle and Claggett Creek Middle School are very good as far as their bike racks. They're fenced. Claggett Creek has a security camera, and they're the U-shape, or the wave shape, where you can attach a U-shaped lock to them. McNary, they have capacity for 74 bikes, but they're not using that entire capacity very well. Where the bike racks are positioned, one of their bike racks is a double. You could park it from the left or the right, alternating. Well, they put it right next to a building, or they put it right next to a fence, or they put it right next to a juniper tree. which means half of the available capacity is basically negated at McNary. Some of the schools have permanent locks attached to the bike racks, which means they are being used. So you don't have to carry a lock back and forth. You just leave it where you go every day. So that's a good thing. They have different names for these bike racks. Some of them are called toasters or front-loading toasters, U-shapes, waves. I don't know what a wheel bender rack is.
That's the older style rack that usually fits a child's bike that you just slot your wheel in between the metal bars and it doesn't support the frame of the bike at all.
And doesn't secure the frame.
No.
Okay. So most of the bike racks, 8 of the schools have either no bike racks or obsolete style bike racks. 2 of the schools, Claggett Creek and Weddle, have the modern wave style. I've got numbers for all the schools. I found out the uncovered capacity. They're all uncovered. All the schools are uncovered. Some have secured areas. Whitaker actually has a fence around their bike area. So Whitaker, Claggett Creek, and Middle School have a fence. There's a question on our standard form here. Is there any skateboard capacity? I put zeros for all 10 schools on skateboards, but
unless it's indoors, inside somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, something. So that's what I did on Saturday. It took me about 4 hours to go to all 10 schools. I just wanted to get some basic capacity data. And then we do need to go back to the school again, hopefully before the school year ends. Mm-hmm. To determine usage, what's going on during the school day. So that's what I have. As far as my other item is Safe Routes to School Action Plan, I don't have anything new there. Safe Routes to Parks Grant, I don't have anything new there. I did learn something. There's the Street Trust published an email today, or a couple days ago, saying that House Bill 2682 has been passed by the House and the Senate. Its purpose is to clarify that bike lanes continue through intersections, which will protect bikers, cyclists, even if the bike lane is not painted in the intersection.
Yeah.
So if it's painted on either side going the same direction, then it protects the biker in the intersection. This will prevent, it's like a right-hand turn on a car cutting off a bike rider. This will make it the car driver's responsibility if he hits the cyclist in the intersection. So that's what I learned. That's all I have.
Well, thank you for that. All your work on the bike parking at schools, and is there, I guess my question is, what do you see as the next steps? Do something you did, or something you need committee someone else to help input?
We can look at the weaknesses of each mm-hmm. school and then find out ways to improve it. For McNary, the obvious immediate thing would be to move some of the bike racks away from the building.
Yeah.
To make them available. I mean, that's a no-brainer there.
Others of those, it seems like we may be able to work with the person that the school district and the council of governments are planning to hire, right? The Safe Routes to School person, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
We have this information.
Our next step, I think, is we should make a recommendation for each school as to how to improve the bike rack.
Yes.
Accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Councilor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Fry, a couple things. Your report was really good. McNary, they've got a plan to fix some of the bike racks and all that as part of their remodel.
Yeah, that's cool.
So until that happens, we probably, there's nothing we can do there. And I know there's a young man looking at doing an Eagle project at Kennedy School with some bike racks now.
Hmm. Very good. Yeah, currently Kennedy has no bike racks.
We've obtained information before from ODOT and other sources about the preferred types of bike racks. So hopefully, I don't know if you can kind of put the Eagle Scout candidate in contact with us, so we make sure that the recommendations end up with something that is the preferred type that will allow secure parking.
That's a great suggestion, Madam Chair. What I've done is I've connected him with our birthday boy, Mr. Sanger, today. And so Hirsch is working with this young man.
Okay. Okay.
So he should have good information.
Okay.
I would like to comment, if we do replace any at any time, to make sure that we replace them with quality bike racks. And then part of this assessment tool is an evaluation, and they give us points for different types of bike racks. A wheelbender gets 10 points, a front loader gets 15, a wave rack gets 25, a quality bike rack gets 40 points, and then we create a score for that school. And you can give the school a grade based on how many points they get.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and it may be worth, like you say, presenting this once you have all the information and the observations in action, as well as your Saturday observations, and allow school staff or something, facilities people or something, opportunity to indicate if there's any other parking opportunities or something. Do they allow staff to bring their bikes inside, for instance, or do they the ones that have the fenced areas? I remember that the assessment tool indicated that there really should be a mix, because some students may need to be arriving late on a given day, or you may need to leave early, or what about visitors, a parent that's just maybe somebody that's just coming to the school for a meeting. So is there visitor parking that's outside the fenced area, or is there access to a few bike parking that are outside the area that's going to be locked during the school hours? So that just a little refinement of some of these ideas that we might not know just by observing.
The three schools,
Counselor.
The three schools, Whitaker, Claggett Creek, and Weddle Elementary, that have the fenced areas.
Mm-hmm.
They have gates on them that could be locked.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't locked none of them were locked on Saturday. So if you arrive late or if you have to leave early, you might have to, how do you get your bike out of a locked area?
That was my point, really. Do they have a small alternate parking area that would be accessible for people arriving during the times during the time the gate would be locked?
Parents stop by during the day.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For off-hour usage.
Right,
or
a student has to leave early for a doctor appointment or something.
Okay.
Yeah, excellent. I'm glad we got, that's great progress on that one.
Baseline data.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like that same tool or something similar could be used for assessment at the city parks?
Something similar, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or the same thing. It's
parks or business.
I'm on parks, and that idea has been floated that we do the same thing in parks.
Oh, we.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Since I'm on both committees. So.
Yeah.
There's 19 parks in Kaiser.
Take more than
some
one
are,
Saturday.
Some are undeveloped.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay. Let's see. Kathy, Joe, do you have any updates for your project?
A little bit, not much. At the last neighborhood association, we did not talk about the bike repair stations. We were completely focused on the Kaiser Fest. So that went nowhere. Nothing for NACTO. The code and policy review, I can at least say that I've downloaded everything that they were able to provide to me, but I haven't actually started looking at it, so I have lots of stuff on my plate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So, yeah, I guess not really.
Are you going to try to compare the two different standards side by side? Or?
Yeah, that's what we, that's sort of what we asked about, right?
Right. Try and look and, you know, see what standards we in fact have in the first place. And then, you know, yeah, how do they compare with what the NACTO standards are or ASHTO standards?
So. Okay. Dave?
Yeah. I went to the budget meeting last month, a couple weeks ago, a week ago. I'm surprised they got done so quick, but they're usually very well organized. And made our presentation about the pathway at Cummings Elementary, and that's in this year's budget. Okay. The Kaiser Road up by the baseball, that's been graveled and leveled out. There's a real problem up there is that the city owns it, but it was donated with conditions. And my understanding is that the baseball associations, plural, are responsible for doing things. So I went to the long-range planning and presented the issues we had with them up there. About the parking lot, parking on the road, lack of bike lanes, things like that. So they have that information that no people were interested in it, and the ADA access to the baseball parks. So I went to that meeting. Mm-hmm. They have that information. Whether they do anything with it or not, we'll see. That was the long-range baseball.
Kaiser Little League Park long-range planning.
Thank you. That group, yeah. So they have that information. Budget Committee had our requests. The third item, the name of the church at Verda and Kaiser Road, traffic circle, is the Open Bible Church, headquarters in Eugene. A guy named Gary, I'm giving you this in case, so that's in the minutes if anybody ever has to look it up. Gary Emery, 541, you don't need to write this down, but I'll just tell you, so it's in the minutes. 541-953-0568. I talked to him, and he was amenable to giving. The problem is the church property goes up to the road because it's been there forever. So we don't have
the
easement
right
to put in a sidewalk. So I talked to Bill, and he couldn't. They didn't know who had that authority. So I finally tracked the guy down, which is more complicated than it sounds like, because but I thought they were going to call the police on me for hanging out in their church parking lot when nobody was there. Anyway, I talked to him, and he's amenable to it as long as it doesn't cost him any money. So they don't have
to put in a sidewalk.
I'm just guessing most churches have their funds dedicated, and so they don't have much for anything else. So if we, what we were talking about is putting a sidewalk in from the existing sidewalk to the side, the new sidewalk up on Verda. Mike, do you have a guess at how many feet was it? 150 feet? 200 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I have no idea what it costs, but I talked to Bill Lawyer, gave him the information, and then I talked to the guy, and the guy seems amenable when he gets back from wherever he was going. None of the phone numbers associated with the church work. So fine, that's what. So anyway, so that's where that is. Talked to Bill. He said they'll try and work. They'll see that's on next year's budget. Hmm. They can't do it this year because this year's budget's done. And I don't think it's going to be a trivial amount of money for 200 feet of sidewalk.
All right. And you would have to, I guess, that wouldn't that be a situation, Mike, where we'd city would have to offer them fair market value for an easement, and then the owner could, at that point,
give it to
well, they have to be offered first, and then they can say waive their rights and donate it.
No, they could just grant it to us, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
go ahead of time, they could grant it first. Yeah. Yeah.
And the only problem I see is that the sidewalk's higher than the parking lot. So is the other sidewalk is also higher than the parking lot, which means the parking lot's a sump. Right now, the water could get out. But anyway, that's up to the city and them.
It's not paved, is it?
It's not paved, but it's going to be paved this summer. They've accumulated the money, and they've talked to Mike. Mike, did they talk to you?
Did the church talk to me?
Yeah, Open Bible. They've talked to somebody at Public Works because there's a standing water issue if they pave their parking lot. Maybe Bill, maybe you.
Maybe. They haven't talked to me.
Yeah, so. Right now it's all gravel, so if it rains, it just stays there.
Yeah. And just, you asked about the footage. It's about 350 feet, just to throw out there. And you were looking at a price number and, $20,000 or so. I mean,
I have a question, Mike. If we put in a new sidewalk, does it have to be irrigated or open so it could, like on Shamawa, where the excess water can flow into residential areas?
Probably we don't have any storm drain right there on that side, so that might be something we would look into. So we might have to acquire a little bit more to do some type of vegetated swell and then have the sidewalk on the opposite side. So it's something we would look into.
Anyway, it's in the works. So that was it. Oh, I was recalling at Kennedy, the kids were parking there. They have a play area in back of the school. It's covered.
The Kennedy has a covered play area.
And yeah. That's where the kids were parking their bikes during the winter. But they were. I don't think there's a bike rack. I think they just run them into the wall and drop. You know, pile them up and let them go. So, but it is covered if they park it back there. But it's not visible. I don't think there's any windows.
Yeah, and that's part of this assessment tool. Yeah, is whether the bikes are in a place where somebody can kind of have an eye on them during the day.
Okay, that was it.
Okay. I think that is all the project reports, right? And so committee member input, next we will see if there's input other than the ongoing projects. And Joe, do you have any other questions or input?
I did go to the, I can't even think of what it was called, a training or a conference a couple of weeks back, mm-hmm. and it had to do with Active Transportation Summit in Portland. And learned lots of stuff that's, great for Portland, probably not really applicable here. The one part I went to, which I was surprised, was the second day on tactical urbanism, which is actually about quick build projects that you can build a project out for cheap, you test it for 2 or 3 days or a week, and you tear it down, and you see, is it going to be effective? And so it was something that I thought could be used around here if we can find test projects that we want to try out. I guess that was really the most all I had.
Okay.
So an example of that could be like a separated bike lane with a vertical separator. Put something out temporary.
And yeah, if you put out like pylons or something, just mm-hmm. little weighted pylons. Yeah. Or even tape on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, temporary striping.
Well.
David, any other announcements or?
No. On the way in today, I was a little concerned. I had two people riding on the wrong side of the street in the bike lane coming down Wheatland Road, and then the other one on River Road. And I was wondering, normally one of the pieces of information is education, and not just give everybody tickets, but the education. I was going to ask her. So next time he's here, we need to discuss what the educational, the city's police's educational component for traffic laws, including bicycle riding, what their plan is. That's what I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, because some way or other, we have an awful lot of people who are either ignorant. Let's hope that they're ignorant of the laws, because that we can deal with in terms of an educational component. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So.
Wayne, any other announcements?
No, I pretty much covered everything that I've been working on. Just some base data for the schools,
mm-hmm.
bike rack inventory, and that's all I have.
Okay. I have two things. One is I've been trading email and phone messages with the principal at Cummings School, because it's part of my follow-up from previous work to meet with her and discuss the future involvement of the school in the Safe Routes to School. I guess it would kind of tie into the action plan that Wayne is, kind of partly on your plate or partly on our committee's plate in general, and then just kind of get a sense for her view of the issues and opportunities around coming school. Also kind of connected to that is I've left a message, and I need to follow up again with David Friedenbach at the school district, and that would be following up on discussion at our April meeting here in trying to find out who at the school district can we talk to make sure that the city and also this committee are aware of opportunities to provide input and get information about what's being planned, especially at Cummings, but at any of the schools that have the bond, that are doing work with the bond money. We kind of talked about a little bit about McNary and also about Cummings, I think, last time, that, gee, we'd like to know who their project manager is and that sort of thing so that we can offer some recommendations and make sure we kind of are on board with what their decision process is and when decisions are happening. Another one, I guess, is Mike, a question for you. You mentioned, I think, last time the River Road paving project, and of course it's been pretty visible that the ADA ramps at the corners are being worked on. And it's been a number one priority for this committee, the pedestrian safety along River Roads. I was wondering if you could comment a little bit about those ramps. They seem to be like creating a larger turning radius, which would mean maybe cars are coming around the corners faster than they used to, or they could do that. I don't know.
No, same footprint. They're just laying them down and making them ADA compliant. So what you might see is the fact that there's a gutter pan that now goes around a lot of them, that at certain spots along River Road you don't have a gutter, so you might be seeing that, which makes it appear to be wider than it is, but they're okay. Pretty much falling. The only thing that might change are the throat, which is where the ramp comes down.
Mm-hmm.
Those are being positioned differently because sometimes maybe they were kind of turned more towards River Road and now they're kind of angled better to cross whatever side street that the
not that to person shoot is the crossing. Wheelchair
correct.
Person and, out into River Road.
And right? We look at each one exactly. When we look at each one of those and if there's something that can be done mm-hmm. to improve it, we definitely will at that time. And we can only do the best, you know, we can out there with everything else that you have to look at when you're redoing those. So
mm-hmm. So those are I guess an integral part of the paving project or a required update in conjunction with the paving project. Our committee has talked about trying to situate some crossing islands up and down River Road. And can that be part of this effort, or does it have to wait like several years until the whole revitalization thing?
The wait. I know you don't want to hear that, but yeah, this is we're moving forward with the paving. You know, it goes right after the ramps are done. So I'd say like middle of July, that's already gone out to bid, and Hauk Paving has the contract for that to do it. So it's going to be a 2.5-inch grind from Plymouth to just about, I'll say, Wearmart, and then put back. So mm-hmm. grind the entire road
lay
and put
overlay,
back. Yeah. So nighttime mm-hmm. paving.
Okay. Those are my questions, and so I guess that is all of the committee and member input, and it just transitions over to you if you had any other issues to update us on.
Well, you just crossed two of them off my list, so that works. other than that, we've been pretty busy right now with the sun popping out. We've been getting a handful of vision complaints. That's just what happens. The plants start growing. All of a sudden, stop signs get covered, and intersections, you used to look left, and now all of a sudden that bush grew all of a sudden. So that's been keeping us busy. And other than that, Councilor Dam mentioned the Irish Fest coming up, and we do the traffic control. We put the everything out, and then the police actually do the closure of the streets and whatnot. And so the Kaiser Fest starts Thursday the 16th and goes to the 19th. River Road will be shut down for the parade on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So
it's only one weekend? Because I was led to believe that they're doing two weekends now.
They're doing something prior this year on Sunday before it, but that the fest is 4 days, and that's
so I probably got some bad information, which
bad intel possibly. So that's all I have,
and I guess I would express my thanks again to all city staff for the condition of the roads during the Monster Cookie bike ride. The roads in Kaiser were excellent and were definitely better condition than those of our neighbor to the south.
Oh, yes.
Good deal.
Definitely. I did some of the signage set up for that, and I was stopping and picking up stuff to throw off, which made me much slower in putting out signs than I would have liked, and that was all south.
Yeah.
It's like such a small part of it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So we have... no police liaison report. Anybody reporting on their behalf or not? And council report is done. So
you're really running the efficient meeting. Oh my God.
When half people are gone, look what we can do. is there any other business that we need to discuss? If not, remember that our next meeting is June 13th. And I will call this meeting adjourned.
Thank you.